Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. Now, businesses in Singapore have restarted operations, albeit partially, as the government begins easing restrictions. But uncertainties about the progression of COVID-19 and the social, political and fiscal actions that it will drive still remain. In Accenture's latest report on five priorities to help reopen and reinvent your business, it outlines steps businesses should take to navigate a range of reopening scenarios. Phasing the reopening of businesses requires an understanding of the number of jobs in each industry, the proportion of those that can plausibly be performed at home, and the potential occupational risk from exposure to COVID-19 balanced against how essential the service is to society. We're chatting to Tony Gomez, who is Managing Director, Digital Technology Strategy and Advisory for Southeast Asia Strategy and Consulting at Accenture. Tony, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Awi. Thanks for having me on the show.
So this is a time, though, for businesses to put in place organizational capabilities and build that resilience and agility for the long term. But there are different scenarios that might arise during reopening, aren't there? Maybe you can talk us through some of them.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, Awi. So, you know, as businesses move into phase two post-circuit breaker, we at Accenture have identified four scenarios, right? And these scenarios depend on the nature of the progression of the virus itself and the way society responds. Let me take you through these four scenarios, right? Number one, it's about rapid remission, right? And what do I mean by that is, you know, the disease is contained, life returns to normal swiftly, government measures work quickly to stabilize the economy. Number two, I call it the cyclical outbreaks. The virus is still circulating, so the recurrence remains high, with cyclical outbreaks requiring the circuit breaker to be rapidly reinstated. Right? And you can imagine here the implications in terms of unprecedented supply and demand volatility, in terms of business planning, and so on. So the third scenario, you know, is it's about, you know, prolonged issue where we are not able to control the spread of the disease. And here, you know, you would imagine the economic impact in terms of, you know, being limited to necessities only, having, you know, therefore inflation soaring and so on and so forth. And then last but not least, you know, it's about flattened curve, which is, you know, taking a true measured approach toward reopening, where, you know, the reopening taking place in terms of months and not days. Obviously, this will mean that we will take a slower return in terms of demand, level of demand.
Why only four scenarios, though? It sounds like there might be infinite possibilities, Tony, but you've got to sort of zero in on just a few, just so that we can plan and do something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that you know, I think the most important point here is, regardless of these four scenarios, what I believe is that it's an opportunity for businesses in Singapore to reinvent themselves now. And I think that's the most important thing. Because if you take a step back, right, before COVID, you will see, you know, we were seeing, you know, already enormous trends towards digital adoption.
Yeah.
You know, and I think beyond COVID, you will see this accelerated 3-4 times of what it of before. And I think that's the real thing that we need to take away. We need to take this as an opportunity to really reinvent themselves.
In what aspects, though? Manpower requirements, how they operate, what do you mean?
I think a few ways, right? Number one, I would say, if you look at the consumer side, right, the way the rules have changed, employee and customer behaviors have changed, right? So if you look at consumer, right, at Accenture, we've analyzed over 20 million online transactions, 3 billion online browsing sessions, you know, with our data partners. And why we did that to help our customers, our clients, to identify, you know, industry trends, shift in digital consumer behaviors in Singapore. Some of the findings won't surprise you, but I think the scale at which we find these new numbers is quite impressive. So for instance, right, let me take you through a few examples.
Okay.
On the grocery side, you know, we've seen an increase of online grocery shopping by 198% since COVID.
Guilty as charged.
Huge, right?
Yeah.
So from an insurance standpoint, which is also, you know, a very different type of product, right? Life, health, commercial insurance. We've again seen a significant spike in revenue coming from online following, you know, the DORSCON orange
announcement
status, right? That we have. Yeah, absolutely. And again here, you know, around 200%+. So these trends will stay, right? So therefore, the way business are engaging with the customers, the way products are being purchased, the way you serve, the way you drive loyalty online is critical.
So that's reinvention could actually mean complete overhaul for a business, like get out of whatever it is you're doing and maybe go into groceries, as an example, a simplification, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I don't think people will only buy online moving forward. Obviously, there'll still be, you know, balance. But I do feel that if you look at the different things we buy, there will definitely be a trend online. Mm. But very importantly as well, Howie, I think on the way we operate as well, the way business operate will change tremendously too. So, you know, if you look at remote working, if you look at, you know, the ability to digitize processes, the ability to, you know, leverage automation and AI at scale to drive greater productivity, efficiency in the decision-making process, the ability to deploy virtual agents to drive that, you know, that greater efficiency and that customer experience is actually quite critical. So I think the way of operating as well will change, not only the way we engage with customers, but the way businesses operate.
Talk us through that, because we are also hearing that actually some people aren't really feeling as though it's safe to go back to work. So you're going to have to create that safe working environment. There's some kind of amalgamation as to how we'll work. Some might work from home, some might go back to work, but that's quite telling. This new physical, virtual, hybrid way of working, some feel not confident to go back to work. So how can then businesses create that safe working environment?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is a very, very important question you raised here. And I believe, you know, there are a few components here, right? The first thing companies should do is pull people first. And what I mean by that is, you know, to truly understand their employees, right? Create that productive, safe, inclusive and rewarding work environment, right? So the ability notably to communicate from the leaders with compassion and confidence, the ability to stay close to the workforce, right? And I'm not talking only about, you know, top management. I'm talking about middle management as well. The ability to care about the employees beyond their work problems, looking at mental health, looking at, you know, at safety and so on and so forth. Mm. The second thing I'd like to share as well is I believe that we need to put security at the heart of workplace design. I'd like to look at it as two angles, right? The first angle is, you know, the ability to look at your health and safety protocols as people start to resume work into the work premises.
Yeah.
You know, being able to, you know, to enable with temperature screening, provide office and employee supplies around, you know, disposable and reusable masks and stuff like that, right? The second angle I'd like to look at it is as well from a cybersecurity standpoint. You need to imagine now that the employees will probably access as well all these environments remotely, but potentially even from their personal devices.
Yeah.
So this poses as well cybersecurity risks that company needs to address.
Okay. So we're also talking about some advice, though, you might have as businesses reopen. We're in phase two, and some are considering having or have already started getting their workers back in. I wanted to ask you as well about whether or not you thought businesses keeping an eye on, say, an employee's mental health and things that are slightly more personal outside of how they're performing might be a bit too invasive.
Look, I think there is not a one-size.
Well, that's the expectation of employees now, you reckon. What has Accenture found out?
Yes, so absolutely. So I think there is definitely a need to be a lot closer to the employees, right? Especially when, you know, what we've seen even for, you know, for Accenture, where, you know, during the COVID situation, there was a lot of uncertainty in terms of the economy, in terms of jobs, and so on and so forth. So what we are doing, even within Accenture, is really communicating very regularly with the workforce, organizing, you know, these social connects, even if it's through virtual meetings, organizing yoga sessions, you know, fitness sessions, being able to just simple things like turning on the camera, right, when you're having meetings and having that personal connect with the leadership. I myself connect very often with the team, turn on the camera and so on and so forth. So I do feel that there is this responsibility to be closer to the workforce, right, so that you build trust in the journey you're taking your workforce towards.
On the flip side, though, Tony, anecdotally, I have heard how some employees feel a bit forced to turn on the video camera so that people can. I don't want people to see my messy kitchen. I don't want people to see my messy bedroom or my private life, essentially.
Yeah, so I mean on that point, there is new features that these platforms have rolled out where you can actually blur the background. But I think beyond that, I don't think turning on the camera is necessarily a must have, and joining a yoga class is necessarily a must have. But what I feel is we need to be able to give the flexibility to the employees. Right? It's not about saying you should turn your camera, you should attend this yoga session with the team. It's about, having these initiatives in place within your organization, right, that creates the momentum, that creates disconnect, and that overall creates that culture that will potentially stay, in a long time after COVID.
So a long-term thing. The digital workforce is coming and it will be a long-term thing. Like the hybrid phase that we're in now may actually just continue and become the new reality.
We've done a study, a global study with consumers, right? And we found out that 49% of the people who never worked from home before COVID, from now on, plan to do so more frequently in the future.
Is it up to them, though? The business has to also accommodate, obviously. Where they work has to accommodate, yeah.
Absolutely. So this requires, changes, right? And I'd like to put it across three areas. The first change is around people, right? The people need to be trained, the culture needs to adapt to these new ways of working. The managers need to be able to manage a hybrid workforce between on-premise workforce versus a remote location workforce. Number two, around processes, right? A lot of these processes today are somehow manual in some cases. Systems are not able to be accessible offsite. They are not digitized and so on and so forth. So the ability to uplift the processes, digitize them, automate them to some extent, leverage AI is critical. And I think the third angle, which I think is very important, is, we need to build resilient technology and infrastructure to support this remote way of working, right? So leveraging cloud and other technologies to be able to, enable this remote working, manage cybersecurity risk, and handle the spike in digital demand will be critical. Enable the organization with collaboration tools and train these people in using these collaboration tools is as well a very important element.
How long will that take, though, Tony? I mean, if you hadn't yet, as a business owner, started on that journey, might it be too late?
No, I mean, it's never too late, right? It's never too late. And I think what I would recommend is to take a phased approach, right? Focus on the key priorities that are critical for your business, right? Focus on the key processes. Focus on put your people first, as I said, right? Look at what you need to do from a technology standpoint, right? Enable the collaboration tools, and so on and so forth. Focus on the key processes to digitize where you see most volumes in terms of customer demand or in terms of internal workflows. So take a phased approach. I think the other element that we've not touched on, which I think is extremely critical, is the pressure on the balance sheet, right? Which, again, I believe critical to protect the balance sheet. And here, I believe that, there is, I would say, organizations that have been through, reducing costs in the short term. But I believe we need to build this, cost-conscious mindset on how do you spend, being able to equip as well companies with, analytics to drive, for instance, financial forecasting so that you can see the levels of liquidity and take actions towards it and so on and so forth.
Tony Gomez, Managing Director, Digital Technology Strategy and Advisory for Southeast Asia Strategy and Consulting at Accenture. Tony, thank you so much for joining us today and good luck, sir.
Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.